So we said yesterday there's a principle called Kol HaMoisif Goyreya. When you add, you are on occasion actually detracting. So the classic example, that was the first example, was we learn from Adam and Chava. Kadosh Baruch Hu told them not to eat from the tree. They added, do not touch the tree. And ultimately, that's what got them into trouble. Because the snake then pushed Chava onto the tree, said, nothing happened to you when you touch the tree. You'll be absolutely fine. Nothing will happen to you when you eat from the tree. And that's why they landed up in trouble. And it's all because they added. Now, there is another makor. In fact, there's two. Says the Gemara, we're on the second bottom line. Rav Masharish Ya'omar Mehocha. Rav Masharish said, I can prove to you there's another source of Kol HaMoisif Goyreya. Where is that from? Because it says in the Mishkan, Amosayim V'cheitzi Orkoi. The length is 2.5. 2.5 amos. Now, where do you see from there that Kol HaMoisif Goyreya? So look at Rashi, and then I'll tell you the most phenomenal Vilna Goyim. Says Rashi, second bottom line, Amosayim. How do you spell Amosayim? Aleph followed by Mosayim. Now, can you imagine if you would have written the word Mosayim without the Aleph in the beginning? It would have read Mosayim, which actually means 200. It turns out, therefore, that when you've added the Aleph in the beginning and you've converted it from Amosayim to from Mosayim to Amosayim, the added letter has in fact detracted because it was numerically 200 when it was just Mosayim. And when you added the Aleph, it's now Amosayim and it's just 2. So it's gone from 200 to 2. So you see that adding a letter can sometimes detract. Says Rashi, Dal Aleph Mehocha. If you remove the Aleph from here, Kori Bey, how will you read it? Mosayim. And what's the value of Mosayim? Have a Shtei Meyois Amo. That's 200 Amos. Now, we'll leave the rest of Rashi. Let me share with you the most unbelievable Vilna Goyen. Unbelievable Vilna Goyen. The Vilna Goyen learns a bit differently to Rashi. Again, Rashi says that Kol HaMoisif Goyreya, from the word Amosayim V'cheitzi Orakoi, because the word Amosayim, had you only not added the Aleph, then it would have read Mosayim, which would have meant 200. You added the Aleph, and you've now gone down from 200 to 2. Says the Vilna Goyen, listen to this, hold on to your chairs tight. The Vilna Goyen says, there is actually a problem with Rashi's Pshat, by the way. What's the problem with Rashi's Pshat? Because essentially, the limud, therefore, is only from the word Amosayim. So why must the Gemara quote the rest of the Pasuk, Amosayim v'cheitzi orkoi? It's nothing to do with those words. Just the word Amosayim would have been sufficient for the Gemara to have quoted. Amosayim means two amos. Had you taken off the Aleph and not added it, it would have read Mosayim. That would have been the proof. So why does the Gemara have to quote the whole phrase Amosayim v'cheitzi orkoi? So the Vilna Goyen learns completely different. Listen to his goyness. Imagine if it would have said Amosayim v'cheitzi orkoi, take off the Vav from the word v'chetzi. So how would you have read it then? Amosayim chetzi orakoi. What would that meant? Two amas is half the length. So what does that mean? Two amas is half the length. It would mean the whole length is clearly four amas. Amosayim is chetzi orakoi. Two amas is half of the length, which means that the total length is four amas. But now that the Torah added a vav, what does it mean now? Amosayim v'chetzi orkoi. The entire length is 2.5 amos, not 4 amos. That's how the Vilna Goy learns atta goinus. So he's learning, and therefore, according to him, obviously, it's much better that the Gemara quotes the whole pasuk. The limud ultimately is not from the word amosayim. No, it's amosayim v'chetzi orkoi. Because had you only not added the vav and you would have written amosayim chetzi orkoi, then it would have translated as 2 amas is half the length, which would have meant that the total length is 4 amas. And now it means, no, the total length is 2.5 amas. So either way, you get to the same conclusion that when you add, you're in fact retracting. Now we have a third limud, says the Gemara. Rav Ashi Omar Ashte Esrei Yerios. Now, what does Ashte Esrei mean? 11 Yerios. Look at the last Rashi on the Abbot. Says Rashi, Ashte Esrei Dal Ayin Mehocha. If you would only remove the Ayin, what would it have said? Avalahu Shte Mesrei. Ashte Esrei, if you would have taken off the first ayin, would have read Shte Esrei Yerios. Shte Esrei means 2 and 10, 12. Now that you've added the ayin, you've actually gone down from 12 to 11. Okay, so we have three different sources for this principle, which we all only mentioned by the by, because we mentioned Odom and Chava and the Nochosh and the Halacha of the Mesis. So now let's get back to our subject. Bottom line of the Gemara. Omar Abaya. Omar Abaya. Loi shanu elo do Omar Meshata Aniboch. Remember, we're going back now to the sugya. Remember, we saw in the Gemara that if somebody admitted to his friend, not in front of Adim, if somebody admitted to his friend that, yes, I owe you money, his friend says to him, Mona liba yodcha, you owe me money. And he says, you're 100% right. The next day he brings him to Beis Din and says, well, can I have the money? And he says those three words, quote unquote, Meshata Aniboch. I was joking. I was only joking. And we said that works. That works. So now Abaya is qualifying that a little bit. Omar Abaya. Loi Shonu. That only applies to Omar Meshata Aniboch. Only if you actually claim those words, Meshata Aniboch. Avo, Omar, turning over the Omar, Loi, Hoyu, Dvorim, Me Oilom. What does that mean, Loi, Hoyu, Dvorim, Me Oilom? If you say, I totally deny that I ever admitted in front of you. Remember, we were talking about that Adim were hiding behind the fence. He happened not to know there was Adim there. Had he admitted knowingly in front of Adim, so then we already said, so clearly in a case like that, that's an official appointment of the Adim, and Ramela, he would be chayav to pay. But remember, we spoke in the Gemara of a case where he didn't realize there were Adim there. They happened to be hiding behind the fence. So he admitted in front of his friend, unbeknown to him, there were Adim listening. He says, yes, I admit, I owe you money. Next day in Beis Din, he comes and he says, yes, I admitted, but I was joking. He's believed. But if he would deny the fact that I ever admitted, I deny. I completely deny that I ever admitted to you, then says the Gemara, top line, huchzak kafron. What does it mean, huchzak kafron? He is then established as an outright liar. Because how on earth can he claim that he never admitted when two Edim actually heard him do so. If he says, Meshate ani boch, I'm joking, there's nothing the Edim can do about that. The Edim have no idea whether he was being serious or whether he was joking. So he's not contradicting the Edim. He's not therefore proven to be a liar. Because all he did was admit. And now he says, I admitted, but I was joking. So I'm not arguing with what I did yesterday. But if I claim I actually never admitted, I totally deny that I ever admitted to you, well, up pop the two Edim from behind the fence and say, excuse me, what do you mean you never admitted? We heard that you did. So you're a liar. Have a look at Rashi, top line. Loi hoyu dvarim, loi hoy desi loch. I never admitted to you. I totally deny I never admitted to you. Vaharei Edim sheshomoi. But there were Edim who heard that he did admit. So even though, as mentioned, the Edim cannot obligate him to pay based on his admission, because he could always claim that I was just joking, that's true. Nonetheless, they certainly have a right to say to him, excuse me, you cannot deny that you admitted the money. That you admitted. You definitely did admit, and we heard it. And if you do now deny it, you're a huchzak kafran, says Rashi. Huchzak kafran ve'einoi ne'mon olav bishvuo. And he wouldn't even now be believed if he makes a shvuo. There is a whole sugya, which is not really our sugya now. We have many cases in which it all boils down to making a shvuah. Now, obviously, somebody who is suspect of lying and making a false oath, then to obligate him to make an oath is not very effective, because maybe he's just going to lie. So there are various parameters by which we make a decision and we say that this person is a suspected or proven liar. The Gemara said that the case we have now is one of those cases. When two Edim clearly heard that he admitted, the next day he says, I never admitted. Well, not only are you a liar, you did admit, but you wouldn't even be believed to make a shvuah to claim the contrary, because you've been proven, established as an out-and-out liar. That's what it means, huchzak kafran. Okay, says the Gemara. Rav Papa, second line. Rav Papa, Bray, the Rav Acha, Bar Ada. So Rav Papa, the son of Rav Acha, the son of Ada. Hochi Omrina Mishmei Derava. He says, this is what we say in the name of Rava. Kol Mili Dichdi. Loi dechiri inshi. Let's translate. Any small trivial matter. What does it mean, loi dechiri? Remember we said yesterday, exchange the dalet for a zayin and it ends up zechiri. Like this Shabbos. Loi dechiri inshi mean loi dechiri inshi. Small trivial things people don't necessarily remember. What's he trying to point out? Have a look at Rashi. Kol mili dechidi. Says Rashi, kol mili dechidi loy dechirinshi. Dvarim shel chinom. What does that mean, dvarim shel chinom? Literally translated, it means free things. It means trivial things. Kloima, what is he trying to say? Because this admission, remember, he had initially been claimed against that you owe me money. What did he say? One word, hein. Divrei ruach hoyu. It was divrei ruach. It was a trivial admission. All he said was one word, hein. Shehishter boy, that he was just maybe just joking. is loy dechiri inshi. People don't remember. V'shochach oiso hoidoyo, and they are perhaps prone to forgetting their admission. What is Rava trying to point out? Is Rava agreeing with what we said before, or is he disagreeing?
Disagreeing.
He's disagreeing. Because until this stage, the Gemara said, in the name of Abaya, it's Machlokes, Rava and Abaya. Abaya says that if you admit, and then the next day, you claim that I never admitted, well, I'm sorry to tell you, you're a downright liar. Rava disagrees. Rava says, no, people can forget an admission. How can they forget an admission? Because it was a trivial thing. Why was it a trivial thing? Because again, he's claiming that I never really admitted. What he meant was that it was just a joke, whatever. So because all he said was, yes, Hain, it could well be that he forgot. A davar shebichdi, a person is prone to forget. And therefore, we do not have absolute proof that he's a liar. In other words, he claims that he never admitted. Now, the two Edim are going to pop up from behind the fence, and what are they going to say? That we claim that we heard you say that you admitted. So how can you claim now that you didn't? Now, what's he going to say? You can't argue with Edim. But what you can say is, okay, Edim, you know something? You're right. I can't argue with Edim. If you say that I admitted, then I admitted. So why am I therefore claiming that I didn't? Because I forgot. Now, what do you mean you forgot? Is a person believed to say that he forgot? Rava is saying, yes. You're believed to say that you forgot. So even now that the Edim have reminded him that in fact he did admit, he can still turn around and say, you know something? You're right. Thank you for jogging my memory. I did, after all, admit, but I still maintain that I was joking. So therefore, Rava is claiming that I disagree with Abaya. Abaya says, if you deny that you admitted, and Edim claimed that you did admit, you've been proven a liar. Says Rava, you've not been proven a liar, because it could be you forgot. And even now that Edim have reminded him that he did admit, he'll say, okay, fine. So if you say I admitted, but I still claim that I was just joking then. I must have been joking. In fact, it was precisely because I was joking, that's why I don't remember that I admitted. When a person makes a serious admission and he knows heart of hearts, if you come to me and say, listen, you owe me $1,000, and I say, yes, if I know heart of hearts that I really owe that money, so when I admitted, that's a serious admission. Nobody's going to forget that. Nobody forgets admitting to owing money when you really do owe money. But if I know heart of hearts that I do not owe you the money, so why did I admit that I do? I just meant to make a joke out of it. Something like that you could easily forget. And that's what it means in the Gemara, kol mili dichdi, a trivial matter. Why is it trivial matter? It's $1,000,000 at stake. The amount of money is irrelevant. It's trivial because he meant it to be a joke, and that's why he doesn't remember. So the fact that Edim say, excuse me, you did admit, how can you say that you didn't, doesn't prove him a liar. You're right. I don't remember everything I said, but I remember the important things. This was not important. Do you know why it wasn't important? Because even if apparently I did admit, but I meant it as a joke. Therefore, says Rava, he's not proven as a liar. Yeah.
He doesn't even remember what he said. How can he tell you what his intention was?
That's why he doesn't remember. That's the proof. You remember things that you meant seriously. But you do not remember that which you didn't mean seriously. Therefore, the very fact that I don't remember is, in fact, the greatest proof that I didn't intend it seriously. That is the proof. That is the proof. If I would have meant it seriously, nobody in 1,000,000 years forgets that he owned up to owing his friend $10,000. You don't incriminate yourself, genuinely mean it, and then say, sorry, whoops, I forgot. There's no such thing. But if
so
I just meant it right from the outset as a joke, then it's very easy to forget. If I'm not
so what
arguing.
you're saying, so what you're saying is the guy is basically saying, I don't owe the money. If I did, I would, you know, I wouldn't have forgotten about it.
Correct. Therefore, says Rava, I'm not proved as a liar. The fact that Adim said that you did admit, despite the fact that you claim to the contrary, doesn't make me a liar. It just means I forgot. Really, how did you forget? The answer is because it's a trivial matter. Why is it trivial matter? It's $10 billion. It's trivial because I meant it as a joke. So the machlokes between Abaya and Rava. We paskenite Rava, as we always do. How do I know we paskenite Rava, by the way? Well, first, there's a little aleph next to the word kol mili dichdi, which always shows us halacha. But even without that, we would have known, because the general rule is whenever we have machlokes between Abaya and Rava, the halacha always follows Rava, except in the case of six exceptions, Ya'al Kagan. Okay, back to our sugya. Zok Deila Gagamara. Hahu. There was this person, the Achmin Lei Edim Lechavre Bekilte. He hid Edim against his friend. He hid the Edim in a kilte. What's a kilte, says Rashi? Fourth line, yuria, some type of curtain, haprusa svivois hamita, which is draped around the mita. Those of you who are with us when we learnt Masechta Sukkah might well remember there was something called a kila. A kila is a four-poster bed with a draped curtain around it. Either way, behind the curtain, there were edim hiding there. Okay, what was the story? Omar Lei, now he says to his friend, Mona li biyadcha, you owe me money. Omar Lei, hein, he says, yes, I do. Now, he clearly does not know that there's Edim there. Remember we said before, if you see Edim in front of you, nobody makes jokes, you definitely mean it seriously. That is a formal appointment of the Edim, by virtue of the fact that you've owned up in front of Edim. This, however, is not in front of Edim, at least not knowingly. Happens to be there's two Edim hiding behind the curtain, but he doesn't know that. So again, Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me money. Shimon says, one word answer, Hain, yes, I do. Now he challenges him. So Reuven says back to Shimon, Omar, Eidi, Veshichbi, Lehavi Aloch Sahadi. Shichbi is a lashon of shoychev, to lie. Remember, these two Edim are behind the curtain on the bed. They're lying on the bed. So he says to him, he offers him this challenge, and he says, Eidi Veshichbi, Lehavi Aloch Sahadi. Look at Rashi. Roitze ato, do you want sheyu kol ha-shoymin? Do you want anybody listening to this mi'idin to testify bein urin, bein yeshenim, whether they're awake or sleeping? Now, why is he asking him in such a strange way? Shehoyo makir ze boy. He could clearly recognize shelo yoide befnei edim. He's not going to openly admit in front of Edim. Remember, once you admit in front of Edim, it's game over. It's game over. If you admit in front of Edim, there's no going back. There's no saying I forgot. There's no saying it's a joke. V'chule, v'chule. No such thing. So he doesn't want to now suddenly pull back the curtain and say, here's the Edim. Let's hear the admission again. Because then he's going to backtrack. So rather, he invites him with his challenge and he says, Omar Beliboy, Shema you Savor Shekulam Yeshenim. V'yomer hein. He thinks to himself that maybe there's nobody really there who's awake. And even if there are two Eidim, but they're probably sleeping. So therefore, he's more than happy to say, hey, yes, 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 one big joke. Yeah, let the sleeping Eidim be witnesses. He doesn't realize that they're actually awake. So look back in the Gemara. Omalei, hey, Omar Eidi v'shichbi, Iri, sorry, Iri v'shichbi. Iri means awake, shichbi means sleeping. Would you be happy for anybody in this room, whether sleeping or awake, lihavi aloch sadi? Omalei, loy. Actually, not, thank you. I don't want to take the risk. Oh, clever man. Omer of Kahana, ha omar le, loy, period. So Rav Kahana said, well, that's it. You asked him the question, he gave you the answer. He said no. So it doesn't help now to suddenly pull back the curtain and say, da-da, look, there's two Adam over here. Because he clearly said that no, I'm not taking the risk. Similar case. Hahu the Achmin Adim Bekivra Lechavri. There was once somebody who, even more dramatic, he hid two Adim, not behind the curtain of a bed, but in a graveyard. They're standing there in a graveyard, and this fellow buries his Adim in the caver. Okay, same story. Omale Monali Biodcha Omale Hen. You owe me money, he says, yes, I do. And then he says, Chaye u'meisi, both alive and dead, lehavi aloch sadi? Do you want live people, dead people? So again, what was he expecting him to say? Yeah, 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 fine, yeah, great. Yeah, let dead people be aged. It's all one big joke. But he didn't take the challenge. Omar Rei, no, I don't want anybody to be my Adim. Omar Reb Shimon, Omar Rei, loy. Okay. So Reb Shimon says once again, similar to the last story, he said, loy. If he said no, there's no point now digging up the grave and saying once again, here, let the two Adim suddenly appear. Because he clearly said that, no, I do not intend to admit in front of Adim. Okay, we're going to hold it over here because the next sugya is a new sugya. Okay, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, we will reconvene on Tuesday morning. On Tuesday morning, Monday morning, I'm not sure if I'll be able to. Maybe I'll send an email, depends how everyone's feeling. We'll see. Monday is Shushan Purim here in Bet Shemesh. Maybe Monday morning, we'll see. But if not, assume Tuesday, unless we send out an email to the contrary. Larry, you'll be in Netanya for Purim.
Bezrat Hashem, yeah.
Okay, do you get drunk on Purim?
No.
You don't?
Nope.
Okay, you sound a bit, you have a cold. You okay? You're feeling all right?
Yeah, I've been sick on and off for the last few weeks.
Oh, Larry, you have a wedding coming up. Mr. Hashem, you'd be better by then.
Yeah, I usually, Purim night, daven all night.
Good for you. It's a very, very special time to daven Ashrechem.
I need a lot of
Shuas. Everybody should be